Now we'll have Brother Carl Prosser open up and seek the Lord's blessing on this last day of convention and on Brother Burton Brown's discourse.
Brethren, before we bow in prayer, let us read this. And he said unto them, come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. I'm not so sure about the rest that we get, but we do know we're resting in the Lord Jesus. Now let us pray. Our gracious, loving, merciful Heavenly Father, in the name of thy dear Son, we approach thy throne of grace with humility this morning. We thank thee for the rest of the past night. We thank thee for this delight and blessing of another day, because we realize that this bright day in which we are living in this quiet place, that we have a chance to fellowship with those of like precious faith, that we have a chance to hear from thy great storehouse of truth, words of wisdom and understanding that will help us in the narrow way. And now, our Father, we are about to go into a session wherein a brother is going to represent you in giving forth the bread of life unto those who are here to listen unto him. Wilt thou bless him, and bless the words that come forth from his lips, that they might come from the depth of his heart, and that they might express what thou wouldst have us know, that thou wouldst have us do at this particular time in the history of the world. And now, our Father, not only bless him and his words and this meeting, but we also remember those who have been with us the last day or two, who have departed for their homes. Wilt thou go with them? Wilt thou protect them on the highways or the byways or whichever way they are returning? Strengthen them, give them understanding, and when they go home, may they have a message from the depth of their heart of the blessings that they have received at this convention. And now, our Father, not only committing those who are here, but we commit those to thy care and keeping, no matter where they are, whatever their circumstances are, all over the world. Bless and strengthen and keep us, each and every one of us. And we commit this meeting to thy care and keeping, especially thy blessing, again we ask, upon he who is to conduct the meeting. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we begin with Brother Burton's discourse, I have several messages. First one, checkout time, as you probably know, is 12 o'clock. We have a little leeway in this regard, though, so you don't necessarily have to check out right by 12 o'clock. You can do it immediately after lunch. If you would like to bring your luggage down ahead of time, if you don't have a place for your luggage, you can put your luggage in the back of the chapel here. Any brethren that need transportation to the airport, you can contact Brother Fred Williams, Brother Tom Marshall, or Sister Carol Blong. So if you need transportation, get in touch with one of those three. We still had a pink coat with us, so please, if that belongs to anyone, please claim it. If not, we'll probably have to turn it over to the Sylmar Convention Grounds. Maybe it's not ours. But okay. Have another message here, and that's from the St. Petersburg class. They wanted their love to be conveyed to the brethren here at Sylmar. So that's from the brethren from St. Petersburg, Florida. Have one other item here, and I just want to bring it to your attention, and that concerns Brother Wilson Lynn. He broke his hip last night at work, and it's my understanding that well, he's in the hospital now. I don't have all the details, but I believe everything is fine. So Brother, I'm sure Brother Lynn is in our prayers. And I believe that's it as far as the messages and announcements go. So with that, Brother Burton Brown has chose for his topic, God Has Caught Us, and we're certainly glad to have Brother Burton Brown with us today. He has served us and served the Lord for so many years, and we're glad that he can make it to a seminar. We're sad that Sister Brown couldn't be here with us today, because she certainly is a part of a seminar, but we're very happy that she has finished her course. So Brother Burton Brown's talk is entitled, God Has Called Us. Brother Burton.
Before I begin, I want to say how much I've appreciated the convention and the rich blessings we've all received here. And particularly do I want to thank the brethren for their prayers and remembrances on my behalf for the last few months. It's been a real encouragement. God has called us. He's called each one of us to a high calling. What a wonderful calling that is. It's a calling that the world doesn't know anything about, because we've been called of God. And in the Apostle Peter's letter, in his first epistle, he tells us, beginning in the third verse, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We've heard about mercy at the convention. What a wonderful thing it is that it's because of God's abundant mercy that we have been called to this living hope. And this is only because of our Lord's sacrifice on our behalf and because of his resurrection from the dead. And the reason that we can be called to this inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, but it's reserved in heaven for you. We've heard about the various places in heaven, but this is a new place. I go to prepare a place for you. And so it is that it's reserved for those who have been called of God. Those who, he says, are kept or guarded by the power of God through faith. You know, faith is such a simple word. We take it so much for granted at times. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that all men have not faith, but you have faith. Those who are kept by the power of God through faith in God and in his holy word. The only way we can come to God is through the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're kept by this faith. Our lives are kept by faith. And we're kept unto a salvation, the diglot says, which is ready to be revealed in the last time. And what a wonderful thing it will be when Our salvation has finally been culminated, and we see him face to face. And then he says that we greatly rejoice in this calling. We rejoice because, even though he says, you're in heaviness through manifold trials, these manifold trials can be breaking your hip, can be whatever. But these trials are for our own benefit. They develop us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And without these trials, we can't be polished, prepared, and fitted for a place in the kingdom. It's only through these trials that we can get into the kingdom. There's no easy way. But Peter goes on to say that it's the trial of your faith. And I like the diglot rendering of this. We've all heard it before. Not only a trial of your faith, but he says it's the proving of your faith. That the proof of your faith, which can be through many trials, is much more precious than gold that perishes. You know, gold can perish. Time will come and men will cast their silver and gold in the streets. It'll be worth very little. But your faith is more precious than this gold that perishes. Though it might be found unto, though it might be tried with fire. These fiery trials proving our faith, though it might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And with all of these experiences, these that we receive, their providential overrulings in our lives, whether we believe them or not, sometimes we say, why do these things happen to me? Job had the same experience. But we know that all things work together for good. To those that love the Lord, to those who are called, more than just called, to those who are the called, the diglot says, those who are the called according to his purpose. According to the purpose of God. Yes, we know all things work together for good. Do we really believe it? That scripture's in there for that purpose. Is our faith strong enough to believe that all things are working together for our good? Sometimes it's difficult to see how. But as we mentioned, there's no easy way into the kingdom. Through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom. But Paul goes on to say in this 8th chapter of Romans, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed, how? To the image of his Son. The image of his Son, we've heard about some of that at the convention. Let us make man in our image. In the image of his Son and in the image of God. To be predestinated to the image of his Son and of himself. And what is that image? It's the glory, honor, and immortality which will be obtained only by those whom he has called. To those who are found faithful in the carrying out of their covenant of sacrifice, even unto death.
predestinated? Are we individually predestinated? Well, I think it's more of a class. We all know that it's the bride of Christ that is called to be predestinated. And we're all one member of that bride. Yes, there are many members in the bride, but we're all called to be part of that bride class. And so we're predestinated insofar as the Apostle Paul tells us in the 12th chapter of Corinthians to be of the body. And now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Particular? I like the diglot on this too. You're participating members in this body of Christ. Because you have been predestinated into the body. Predestinated because you have faith. And as the body is one and has many members, so also is this body. And what a wonderful thing it is that we have been called of God. And whom he called, them he also justified. And how did we receive our justification? Remember one of the first texts that we read? Where he says, we've been begotten again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why was Jesus Christ raised from the dead? That he might appear in the presence of God for us. We all know the story of the tabernacle. Sacrifices, the bullocks and the goats. But when that bullock's blood was taken in and sprinkled on the mercy seat, what did it do? It gave us justification. An atonement was made for us. And therefore we are counted right in the sight of God. And without his resurrection there would have been no entrance into that beyond the veil. That sprinkling of blood for us. We would have not had a sacrifice that would have been acceptable to him. And if there was no sacrifice that was acceptable to him, there would have been no body. There would have been no subsequent sacrifices for the world. Atonement. And here, the Lord's goat is shown. We share with him in this wonderful sacrifice of atonement. Why? Because we have been called of God to lay down our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and appeared in the presence of God for us. And so them whom he justified, them he also says, them he glorified. Glorified, yes, future tense, we shall be glorified.
Receive
that glory, honor, and immortality that's promised to those who have been found faithful. What shall we say then to these things? Since God be for us. King James puts in that little if God be for us. It isn't any doubt. It's since God is for us. And the diglot gives us that rendering too. Since God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we say? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, not the world, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a free gift it is, because we have faith. These things are wonderful to contemplate. And because of this, we realize that as the seed has been threatened, you might say, ever since the Garden of Eden, when Satan endeavored to destroy the seed, remember, you all know that lesson, we've had an adversary. And therefore, the Apostle Peter tells us that we must be vigilant. This is in the 5th chapter of his first epistle. 8th verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. The word vigilant means watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? How do we resist him? Steadfast in the faith. Is Satan still loose? All we have to do is look about the world today. And Satan is still your adversary, and he's my adversary. He's our adversary, seeking whom he may devour. He's already devoured the world, but it's the seed that he's endeavoring to destroy. But knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished or endured in your brethren are also in the world. And so, we go through the same experiences that the world goes through. But it's our faith that Satan aims at with his destructive powers. It's our faith that he tempts us in these subtle endeavors. But there's one thing that we must do. One of the things that we must do. And the Apostle Peter tells us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that due time will be, of course, when we have finally come to the end of our course. We've proven ourselves worthy of a share in the kingdom, in that spiritual phase of the kingdom. And that's as the Apostle John tells us in the first epistle and in his where he says that that wicked one will touch him not. And how are we to resist this one that's so active in the world? By humbling ourselves, by following in the footsteps of the Master. And how better can we do that than to look to our forerunner, the one who entered into that which was beyond the veil? And as we do this, we look at the various examples that we have for us in the Scriptures. Apostle Peter was one of those. Truly a man of humility. He didn't set himself up above the others. Certainly there are those that desire to do that. But you remember, Peter said in the 5th chapter that he also saw the sufferings of Christ and was willing to follow that. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. Now, he wasn't talking to the general congregation. He was talking to those who were the leaders of the flock. There are many leaders today. And instead of endeavoring to feed the flock, they would rather fleece the flock. And we see how that occurs. But feeding the flock, not to set themselves up about one another. But he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Have we ever seen anything these days of trying to feed the flock for filthy lucre? It's amazing how that some of these individuals will get great congregations, say, I need your money. We don't need their money. The Lord has all that he needs. And it's the widow's mite that carries on the work of witnessing, promoting the gospel of the kingdom. Well, there are those that have much and they can give much. There are those that have little, like the poor widow and her mite, remember? As they sat across from the treasury building, those that had much, they cast in much. Said, look what I've given. But the poor little old widow, what'd she do? Cast in a little mite. But what was it? It was all her living. She gave all that she had. Complete consecration and dedication to the doing of the will of God. And so it is that Peter exhorts us to be clothed not with the garments of self-righteousness, but with humility. And why is this? Because he says, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We're also reminded of this in the words of James, the fourth chapter, in the sixth verse, where he says, but he giveth more grace. Wherever he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But is it only resisting the devil? No. He says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Peter had learned much by his experiences, even as the other brethren and the Lord. He knew that the Lord had gone through many difficult experiences and trials. And Peter, according to tradition, of course, wanted to follow the Master's footsteps, but even more than that. Remember what he said, according to tradition. He didn't want to just be crucified as was the Lord, but he wanted to be crucified upside down, whether that be true or not. But it shows the attitude of the man. This shows how the sacrifice he was willing to give. It's also pictured by the Lord's goat. Remember how it was burned? Burning is not a very pleasant thing. But in that burning of the fat on this altar in the court, it gave off a sweet-smelling savor. That was sweet, sweet to God. But to the world, it was a stench in their sight. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. And so it is that as we offer ourselves in sacrifice, we realize that it is God that worketh in you. We are called of God. It's God that works in you. Why? Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so we're called unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. Called unto His eternal glory. Eternal. That word eternal in the Greek is aeonian. And it's interesting that the word aeonian means not only everlasting, the world will have everlasting life. Remember, John tells us that if any man eat this bread, he's going to live forever. You're going to have everlasting life. Aeon life, the Diaglot tells us. When you look at that in the Diaglot, it says he's going to live into the age. But for those who eat the bread and drink the cup of sacrifice, of following in the footsteps of the Master, they will have aeonian life. And I like the thought of the word aeonian. You look this up in the Strong's Concordance, and it has the thought of perpetual. What's perpetual? Without end, without stopping. It keeps going. Immortal. Life everlasting. Life within itself. And so it is that because we do follow in the footsteps of the Master, laying down our lives in sacrifice, sharing with Him in this offering for sin, in this atonement work, we will have this aeonian life. And that's why Paul, or John, tells us that we're called by God unto fellowship of His Son. And that's a wonderful statement that John makes for us in his first chapter. We've had that text, I think, before at the convention also. And that which we have seen and declared we unto you, that we may have fellowship, or communion is the word, that we may have communion with us. And truly our communion, or fellowship, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And He wrote these things, why? That your joy might be full. This fellowship is only because of His unmerited favor. This grace of God. This unmerited favor that we have because our Heavenly Father has called us unto joint heirship with our Lord and Savior. But Peter says that this is not without cost. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, referring back to that again, in the 18th verse, he says that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yes. Paul went through much suffering. We all know of his experiences. He was stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, and all the rest. But he said these weren't to be compared with the glory that would be revealed when he received the crown of life. And it's this glory that was first received by our forerunner, our Lord Jesus, when he said in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, the 19th verse, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Within the veil. Well, we know that that's a tabernacle picture, isn't it? It's not just within the first veil. We're all sitting within the first veil. Remember in the, again in the tabernacle picture, the first compartment of the tabernacle is where we receive the light of the golden candlestick, the Word of God. We crumble the incense on the altar, which is a sweet-smelling savor to Him, and we feed upon the Word. But it isn't until we go to that within the veil, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, beyond the second veil. Not easy to get there. Whither our forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek. Are we called to the order of Melchizedek? No, I don't think so. That sounds like that we're called to be Melchizedek priests. But who was Melchizedek? Remember? He was a priest and a king upon his throne. And I like the diaglot rendering of this too. Whether our forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a priest forever after the manner or after the likeness of Melchizedek. And so we are to be after the likeness of the Melchizedek priesthood and after the likeness of our forerunner, to be kings and priests unto God, to live and reign with Him 1,000 years. What a wonderful 1,000-year period that will be. Period of time when we shall be able to assist the world to come back up the highway of holiness, that they may all know the Lord, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Yes, and when the Lord will forget their sins and remember their sins no more. Why? Because atonement will have been made. It's these things that they're not new to us, but they reveal to us these words of God through the apostle, through our Lord. They reveal that it's as we endure patiently all things, it's as Peter tells us, it's according to the will of God. We've heard something about the will of God at the convention. This is the will of God concerning you. What? Even your sanctification. Your setting apart. Setting apart for a holy purpose. And that holy purpose is to serve our Heavenly Father show forth the praises of him who has called us. God has called us. Show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. And so therefore, he says that we are perfected, Peter tells us, established, strengthened, settled. All of these various phrases Peter uses to indicate how we are being developed as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And as we are perfected, he says, it's certainly not perfected of human body, but it's perfected or being mature as new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's even as the Lord Jesus says, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And so the grinding and the polishing goes on. Peter tells us that to be established, this word means to be set fast, turned resolutely, made stable. And how important it is that we have our faith set upon the rock, not upon the shifting sands of false doctrine, perhaps, or tradition, but upon a thus saith the Lord. And how important it is that we have a thus saith the Lord for the things that we believe. We've heard from the platform, too, how we can have differences of opinions. Sometimes I think that may be good, because it stirs up our minds to study, to show ourselves approved unto him, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as we continue to do this, it's as the Apostle Peter says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, he says, establish or strengthen the brethren. And he did just that when he endeavored to establish them in present truth. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in the 12th verse, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, you know them, I know them, and be established in the present truth, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He knew that his time was about over. And so he was encouraging the brethren to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Another word that's used in this word is settling. As Paul tells us in Colossians 1:23, continue in the faith, grounded and settled. This has the thought of a foundation. And so we must have a foundation that cannot be moved. And it's as Paul says, be moved not away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. I like the words of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, when he tells us, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. And Peter, going on in 2 Peter, the first chapter, the 10th and 11th verses, says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And brethren, having been called of God, after ye have suffered, or
the word is endured, after ye have endured a while, endured patiently, we'd like to close with the Apostle Paul's words and also Peter,
when he tells us, 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as Paul concludes Romans 8th chapter, the 38th verse, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Burton, for those words, called of God, and the importance of faith and humility. Those are two things that are tied together, aren't they? And something that we need, our faith needs to grow, not waver, and something that we need to prove. And we look forward to proving our faith. Of course, that's one of the reasons why we come together at convention time, so our faith will grow. And it grows not only by listening to the talks up here from this platform, but also from our fellowship with the brethren. So let's conclude now with hymn 149, Hid with Christ. We'll sing all the verses and rise on the last verse, and we'll ask Brother Burton Brown to dismiss us with prayer. One other item I would like to remind the brethren that we have a short intermission, only 15 minutes. So we will reconvene at 10:30. Hymn 149, Hid with Christ. Thank you.
gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege that we have had of coming together at this place to consider those things found in thy holy word. We do thank thee for the gift of thy only begotten Son on our behalf, and for the Holy Spirit that has been manifested in our lives and our hearts and minds, that we may know something concerning thee regarding thy wonderful plans and purposes. We thank thee now for the privilege that we've had this day, and we look forward to this coming session, and pray that thou continue to bless our fellowship one with the other. We pray not only for ourselves, but for all of our brethren the world over, those who are going through difficult experiences and trials. Comfort them as only thou knowest they have need. And now we ask these favors and we seek these blessings, looking for thy coming kingdom and praying that it may soon come, and thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. These things we ask in our Savior's precious name.
Amen.